I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. I like the bop we got going on, guys.
Oh, it's in sync.
Oh, the streets.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Love is Blind After Show here on AfterBuzz TV.
Wow.
We've got a lively panel for you here today. Yeah? You feeling the energy, y'all?
Of course. I'm feeling, man. Love is blind. Love is blind.
Love is in the air.
Yeah. And it'll take over your mind.
Okay.
Don't get us a copyright strike.
You know what? I'm just...
It's pitch perfect. It's the
you're
same.
You're right.
That's right.
I'm going to just leave that right there. It is indistinguishable. Wow. SAT word of the day.
Thank
Love
you.
That. But again... Indistinguishable. Right? Yeah. How many letters are in that? Again, what's up, everybody? I am your host, Christine Alexis, and you are tuned in to the Love is Blind After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I am not alone. I have two of the best guys in the biz joining me for this discussion.
Accurate.
Okay. We have Mike Feeling over there on the end.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Our reality TV expert.
Thank you.
You are.
And then we also have comedian, WWE fanatic, all-around great guy, Flobo Boyce.
That's amazing. The best intro I ever got. Yep. I'm going to clip that out.
You deserve that.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes, I am so happy that I have you guys here to talk about this nutty
man,
show.
Man, what is happening on this show?
It's a lot. Can we just say, we're the second episode in now, if you're joining us, of this new Netflix series, Love is Blind. This social experiment has truly got us just thrown for a loop at this point, because it's just it's just unlike anything we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Can I say really I'm mad at Netflix? Because there I was just scrolling around, and Netflix is like, hey, this show is cool. We recommend you check it out. And I do, and I'm down this rabbit hole of different lives and relationships and crisscrossing things. I am on board now. I'm not even a reality show guy like that, but this show is pretty nuts.
I love it. It's very unique from other, because people that watch me, especially on AfterBuzz, they know I do a lot of the relationship reality shows here, and this is really different from all of them. Christina, obviously you and I do Bachelor together, Bachelorette, all the Bachelor stuff. I do Married at First Sight. I've done 90 Day stuff. It's very, very different from everything. Yeah, Married at First Sight, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are common threads that this is a dating show. There's some sort of competition aspect and just a hyper short timeline for us to figure things out. But I don't know, just the way that these pods are kind of, the communication is so different.
Yeah, right.
And then us as viewers, I feel like it's just taking me on a ride trying to figure out who's who and how quickly these relationships are forming.
Yeah, we don't get introduced to all the cast in the same way normally. I mean, poor Rory. I still don't know who that guy is, but he pops in every once in a while to give people pep talks. And so not only that, but I feel like in this show, everybody is falling deeper and faster than in any other show that I've watched. Even Married at First Sight, where they get married and then they kind of go on their little love journey for 8 weeks. Even then, when they get married, they have a kiss, it's still kind of like, well, I'm kind of feeling you out a little bit. I don't know how, whatever. These people are, you would have thought they've known each other for 30 years and are just reprofessing their undying love to their soulmate.
True.
Amazing.
So at first it was the same way, but if you're a theater kid or in my case, a film student, the classes are so small that after a while you're kind of like, well, we're here on set all the time. What's going on?
No,
so
I agree.
In that same box.
I agree, but again, that's over the course of a class. This is 3 days, and they're crying, saying they love each other. I feel like there's some Stockholm syndrome going on or something. They're falling in love with the captors,
mind you. And you're not even seeing this person. This is straight up voice. If you're listening to us on iTunes, perhaps, I hope you love the sound of our voices.
That's right. Yeah.
But I would hope that after listening to this podcast, you don't tweet me and say you're in love with me. Please
no,
don't.
I want that.
I need some bless ups.
Look at these guys.
Please. I will take the ego boost from anybody who falls in love with my voice. Not happening.
Hashtag Lobito.
It's that fine line of But all right, we got it. I just didn't know where to go from there, but we're gonna get into this episode.
Rory. Justice for Rory. I hope he finds someone.
Justice for Rory.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into Rory, we have to start right where this episode picked up from episode one, which is this lovely cliffhanger.
Let's go.
Of Lauren and Cameron finally getting to meet each other at their proposal / reveal, the big fireworks, everything that they're pod conversations have been leading up
to. In the creepy garden hallway, that's right.
Yeah.
Is it creepy?
Oh, it's creepy.
It's warm and inviting. Kind of low.
That garden hallway is something that a James Bond villain has in their lair.
Look, I think it's nice. It's longer than a CVS receipt, but I think it looks nice.
Come on. It doesn't look bad, but it's definitely a Bond villain lair because they have kept these people in these pods, and now they're allowed to go out into the hallway and try to escape.
You know, they make the long hallway long so they can have some exercise, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So the men have to run every... Yeah.
Well, Carlton later. Sorry, I was
bored. Less about the decor and about the couple that we're talking about.
They are super cute. Yes. That was a super big hug. You know, Cameron is whispering stuff into her ear. He's never going to let her go. I mean, there's a reason why, and we can see in the editing of this show, it seems asynchronous. Another SAT word. Mm. It seems asynchronous, which means out of order they're editing it, and you can tell why they made this couple first. They seem really strong, solid. They seem really about each other.
Can I get an SAT word in here, too?
Yes.
Please.
Allow me to postulate.
Yes. Yes.
But I really thought that when they were revealed, it was going to be one of those like, oh, that's what you look like. So to me, it was actually pretty awesome that they still have had those feelings for each other.
I'm hoping that happens with one of the reveals. Like,
I mean, I think to your point, Mike, that was a great place to start because you do want to see a successful couple kind of come out of this early round because we still haven't met a lot of the other people. Right. But Lauren and Cameron were pretty strong from the start. When Lauren sees Cameron, she goes, oh my God, he looks like Prince Charming. Like, Prince Charming?
Yeah.
That's
all right.
A lot.
I mean, all right. Shout out Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, right?
Yeah, Netflix is probably like, yeah.
What I did appreciate about this proposal reveal as well is, you know, intertwined between all that, we get moments with Lauren where she's very candid about the challenges that she thinks their relationship is going to face in the real world, which, right away, kind of tying this show in together, it's like, good. It's nice to see a couple having some realistic forward thinking about what their relationship will face.
I was commending the show for doing that because I know it's an unspoken thing, and you're watching at home being like, but they look different. And it sucks because it's 2020, but the fact that it says, look, my friends may think this, but I feel this way, makes it that much more forward, which I appreciate.
Yeah, and you know, Netflix can be accessed by anybody. There's, you know, being that we live in a big city, I feel like this topic maybe isn't as taboo, but maybe someone in a small town is like, oh my God. Like,
right.
Yeah. And having someone like Lauren, like, verbalize that and kind of just put it out there, I thought was like a good way to break the ice when it comes to them. But to that point, they have great chemistry. They seem really happy with physically how they look. Mm-hmm. You know, Lauren had on a nice little titty dress. Sorry.
I didn't notice.
It's fantastic.
It was very flattering.
It was flattering.
Very happy
great
for them.
Dress.
Quite.
Yeah, great. And then things kind of move on from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, after we get this proposal, we start checking in with the other couples, the other pods, seeing how things are going. We have some love triangles forming, some people changing their minds, you know. And then we meet some new couples, too, just all in this one large chunk.
Good episode.
It sounds like a second pilot almost.
Yeah.
It did feel like a second pilot.
So will the next episode be too, I think.
Yeah. This means more Nick the show.
Because Rory has to be with some girl that we probably haven't met yet either.
Probably.
For sure. I want to start off by talking about Kelly and Kenny, just because I feel like, you know, their names sound cool together. With that. They're also, I would say, objectively, maybe our least favorite couple, being that they're a little normal?
I wouldn't say least favorite. I don't know anything about them. True. They weren't in the first episode. Mm. We get very, very little of them here, except there they are talking. They seem to connect, and he proposes by the end of the episode. So we definitely, as far as their storyline goes, we're not as invested in them as we are in Cameron and Lauren because we saw at least some crying and a lot more conversation.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird how these kind of shows, take a step back, I'm more of a casual fan compared to you. Like, I feel like a lot of the contestants have this hyper-realistic vision of what beauty is. And these are people who are like solid eights and nines or whatever have you. They look good together. They're a fantastic couple, beautiful, but they look kind of average. I felt like you guys could have met downtown on the way at the Marshalls or Walmart or something. It just felt like
this
show didn't really mean, I don't know. I'm not hating on them. I'm glad they found it. But I was like, oh, all right.
But that's kind of going towards what I said. We don't know a lot of their backstory. So we don't know like the struggle. Like maybe one of them's divorced and has had a really hard time getting out there. I don't know because we didn't get a lot meat on those bones yet.
which is kind of why I wanted to start with them, kind of just get that out the way, because they are one of the newer couples. One thing I did write down about them, though, is that they both bonded over a book that they both enjoyed in their childhood. Just some kind of, it seems like the common thread between them is that they're both looking for acceptance. Kelly mentioned, you know, she had recently lost weight and she's back in the dating scene. And, you know, Kenny has his own, you know, personal insecurities. It seems like they just, it wasn't much work for them to fit together.
Great. Yeah.
I don't know. It's okay. It's kind of generic. I'm not a hater.
No, it is.
That's fair. I agree with you.
I just feel like, okay, we all want acceptance. We want to find someone that likes us. So when someone goes like that, I felt like, you like music? I like music. You
but
like
yeah.
a book? I like a book.
100% to that point. And anybody who's following me and along with Married at First Sight will know the same thing. Right now on Married at First Sight, we got five couples. Three are train wrecks. Two are, you know, perfect, right?
Right.
Barely any of the episode is about the two perfect ones. Barely any of these episodes are going to be about Kelly and Kenny because they're a great couple. Everything's happy and fine. Yeah. It's kind of not interesting TV because there's really no drama. Right. So we just kind of see like a nice relationship. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. It's just kind of the way these shows go down.
Another nice relationship that kind of got serious really quickly is Giannina and Damien.
Yeah.
Another new couple that we met this episode.
Yikes.
Flobo, give me your initial thoughts on these two. We got a lovely girl from Venezuela and just an American guy, I'm assuming. I don't know. We didn't get his nationality, but
America's
they played her up.
America's lovely too, Chris. No, yeah. I was on board with this one, but something about Giannina, like it looks like she has this secret. She was the cliffhanger this episode.
Yeah,
something will be
is.
Revealed, but everything just seems kind of cat and mouse, even though this guy is like pouring his heart at her. Even when he proposed eventually, he's like pacing and quoting scripture, it seems like. I don't know what her backstory is.
Yeah, we got to call a little shenanigans on him, because how much stuff did you bring to the show to put in this box that you were talking about? He's like, I was filling this box with stuff from all my travels around. Like, bro, you didn't bring that. You just brought some luggage or something.
Just receipts.
I don't know. Yeah, just I guess the gesture, you know, I don't know the right way to say this. I'm probably stealing this from some movie or something like that. But the fact that their relationship is so condensed, I feel like is being mirrored by the extravagant overpouring of, I don't know, love and emotion that he's, I took the bow off the box and now it's on my wrist because I am the gift. It's like, I didn't do all this when I proposed to my wife. And I knew her for 7 years. So I feel like there's some juxtaposition there in the situation they're in with how it's coming across.
Like with needing to just like overcompensate?
Yeah,
of
that's a
at.
Much more succinct
but
way of saying
it. The other couples at least got the moment of them like, you know, crying or like, I love you too, I like you too.
Right.
Giannina just seems like, I got some things I walk away from and it's close. It's like,
Why
would you even, that's a red flag, bro, like, or at least an orange one. Like,
well,
slow it down.
The same thing as where we haven't seen a lot of them or any of them before this episode. So again, we don't know a lot of backstory. Mm-hmm. We're not as invested. And I mean, the first episode, Cameron and Lauren, that was obviously very quick, but to us, this is extra quick, right? This is within like a half an hour to us.
It almost makes me feel like the producers are like just toying with us a little bit, because when they do start, I initially wrote down that they said we're meeting them. She's like, oh, what is this, our fifth date or something?
Right.
I'm like, are you just like having fun with us now?
Well, tell me, because honestly, I can't remember. Do you guys remember how many participants are in overall? Is it 16?
I don't remember
my brain is saying 16, but I'm not
sure. Because it's going to be interesting once we're done with these first three or four episodes, when we actually get into them planning their wedding, I guess, because we keep getting the countdown, and today's episode said 30 days till the wedding, or 31 days till the wedding. So we see them planning this wedding, and then I actually don't remember how much we get post-wedding as well.
Yeah.
So that should be when a lot of these storylines really start to grip and we start to actually see them interacting and stuff. So this is kind of a like, let's get through it, and we're just giving supreme highlights because, you know, and again, all this has happened already. So this is obviously being edited in a specific way to like, you don't need any more than what we're giving you for this couple because it's all coming. Or they're just a beautiful couple that works well and they're honestly not that interesting.
I mean, that remains to be seen.
Sure.
I know we kind of jumped ahead a little bit with discussing them because they end up being the cliffhanger later.
So, yeah.
But, definitely let us know in the comments if you guys are feeling this couple.
Yeah.
But moving on.
What is
your
secret? I don't even know.
I think we're going to end up doing here on the show as well, Because it's a little bit amorphous. Obviously, all you fans of AfterBuzz, if you're watching us on YouTube, please give us a big subscribe. We do lots of different shows here. And give us a 5-star review if you're listening to us on iTunes or any of the podcasting services. But I think once we get through, as you guys know and love us, you know we do a special segment every show.
Yes.
I think what we'll end up doing here is probably rating the couples like we do on Married at First Sight. Once everybody's all matched up. And then we'd love to hear from you guys, you know, how you rate
Definitely.
All these couples, who ends up with who.
I love that idea, for sure. Nice promo, because it's not just about our opinion, it's about yours. That's why you're joining with us.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Extended panel.
Extended panel. You're our fourth person. Moving on.
Good looking people out there.
We have another couple from last week's episode that's still going strong. We have Carlton and Diamond.
Yeah.
Diamond with the stripper name. She's going to hate me for saying
you're
that.
You're perpetuating the stereotype.
Terrible. I know. You know what? I take that back. That wasn't cool. But
every Diamond I ever met was like nice and wholesome and not.
My best friend's name is Diamond.
And that, weird, and that like, is probably because they're trying to go against the stereotype. Yeah. Like, I know, I have a someone's stripper name.
I'm in the library. Yeah.
Not that's not me.
Yeah, my best friend hates it. Like, yeah. Literally, we just laugh at guys who start with
Does
that approach.
Does she go by D or something?
Nope.
Do Diamond. Guys have stripper
What's
names?
Her middle name?
Ashley.
Okay.
Diamond Ashley.
What's her last? Oh, no.
Let me not blow her up. What's
the last initial?
M.
Damn, that's pretty good. That's really what I was getting to. Damn is pretty
damn.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah. Love you,
good
Diamond,
acronym.
If you're watching this.
Good acronym, Diamond.
She better love you after that, man.
She should be a special guest on the show. Yeah. Like, look, I need to rep for all Diamonds. Yeah. Come on, Seriously. We're good people.
But this Diamond that we're watching find love in Love is Blind, she and Carlton are at the point now where they're ready to just go all the way. Like,
sure.
They're ready to commit to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at one point she shared a really emotional story about the ladybug that kind of touched us. Sure. Basically getting signs from Sweet. Her life that Carlton is the guy.
Yep. Are you big into that?
Signs?
Otherworldly signs, yeah.
I am. I definitely am. But I am also a realist. So it always stops at a certain point. Like,
what's the line?
I don't
Hot seat. What's the,
yeah.
What's the line?
Tell us right now.
Because I'm not one of those people who's like, oh my God, I believe in signs. And then like you see a sign and then it leads you to like a cult or something. You know, like
wow.
Some people are right. Just like, I'm not one of those people who will follow like a thought too far.
Right.
Like
okay.
I like to keep things.
You into signs?
A little bit. I feel like sometimes, let's say I'm trying to go somewhere and I get like stuck in traffic. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wasn't meant to be. Shouldn't
yeah.
be there today.
Yeah.
But not,
yeah,
but not like
that.
The moons have aligned and my next yeah. girlfriend is whatever.
I think they're fun. I think they're fun in kind of the way Diamond is saying they give you a cool feeling. I told you guys that mm-hmm. my wife is into it, especially with butterflies. And in her culture, she's Filipino. In her culture, the butterflies represent people who have passed. Mm-hmm. So Ooh. I like to think about it. It's fun for me to see a butterfly and it makes me think of, you know, relatives and people who have passed away, and it gives me a warm feeling when I see it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think for me, maybe it's more so like, you know, scent is the strongest sense tied to memory. So
okay.
that's something
yeah.
that it evokes a visceral reaction in me. Like if I smell something, like I'll
yeah.
randomly smell something that's like my grandfather's cologne who passed,
oh,
and
yeah.
it immediately
yeah.
takes me back to like being around him.
That's
so
awesome. Yeah.
I get that for sure. But okay, I bring them up though because we do have to take a moment to kind of rag on Carlton a little bit
yeah.
because he said something at the beginning of this episode that pissed us all off.
Yeah,
Flobo, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, so Carlton is like, you know, because remember the last episode, he's like, well, I've loved hearts before, but I want to stay with a woman because a woman nurtures. And I was like, that's kind of weird. But today he was like, you know, I'm always with the beauty queen. You know, I'm always that guy, but I'm waiting for something different and a challenge. Like, look, bro, I don't know who
yeah.
you think you are. But you walking around like that, like you just saying you're settling, no matter who this person is.
Yeah,
on the other side,
that's
that,
right.
No, I just not a
yes.
fan.
As if she's
just,
not even, and before he even knows what she looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just with these hot girls, but now it's
yeah.
different. Like you're going on the ledge by being with your presence.
A lot of people don't think of the optics on these shows. Like this does not make you look good. And from past experience, what's fair for us to say? 85% of reality show relationships do not work out anyway.
Yeah.
So you're gonna be dating again in the future. And how does that make somebody feel? I don't know. It's just not a good look of kind of bragging about it.
It wasn't a good look, first of all. And second of all, you to go from that and then going to so emotional and like
yeah.
so invested when just a few minutes ago you made it seem like you were just settling for like what's in front of you right now.
Yeah.
And that to me
yeah.
is like, I don't know if I believe you're sincere. It didn't come across well. Like, and I know, you know, if they end up being together, Diamond is not going to feel good watching this back. I don't
yeah.
know that any
yeah.
woman
that's
would.
Gonna, yeah, that's going to be kind of cringy. And you know, the show keeps teasing us with this secret he's going to reveal.
Mm-hmm.
obviously we know the secret already, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you guys think that's a big deal? Do you think that secret is a big deal?
If you're tuning in, the secret that we're talking about is the fact that Carlton is fluid. He has been intimate with men and women, and I personally think that is going to be a huge crux in their relationship. I think...
Why?
Because I just think that's something... Like, the same way you are transparent about your past, like, your name. Like, it's to me, your sexuality is as basic as saying your name and, like, what you're interested in. So I feel like for him to not say that right away and then say it later, like, making it this big secret, I think is... already setting it up to fail, almost. Like, if this is truly who you are and it's a part of yourself,
right,
you should lead with that.
So this
it's
is
not, what, I'm not saying it's an easy conversation to have, but I think it's better to have it sooner rather than later.
It is interesting because Lisa, for the first episode, it's confessional, it sounded like it was not a phase, but he said, I loved hearts before, but I'm willing to choose women. I think that's why he's making it a secret, but you're right. If he was ongoingly bisexual, it shouldn't be an issue. It should be like, yes, I am, but I'm not sure what that's about. I do feel like it is a little bit different in Carlton's case, only because he said in his confessional today, I didn't tell her. It's like, but why? Why would you go out there and not do that? You know what I'm saying?
What do you think?
I think it's such a weird situation. I mean, it shouldn't matter at all, right? It shouldn't. It's the same thing as, well, these are the different girls I've dated in the past. These are the girls and guys I've dated in the past. The past is the past. If you're committing to this one person, then the past kind of shouldn't matter, right? The problem is with this show, everything is so truncated and quick.
Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, there's a million things he hasn't told her as well, like maybe where he went to college. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that you don't get the chance to tell somebody. We only know each other for literally hours. They've known each other hours.
And
not even a day, okay? Because they've been there maybe 5 days, but what, they have two-hour dates or maybe not even? Mm-hmm. They've known each other hours. So I would hope that this doesn't become a crazy issue. To me, it's just one more thing that they haven't had a chance literally to talk about.
Something that I've always realized with things that you feel like it's going to be a bomb when you drop it.
Right.
It's usually because you, like,
You've built it up.
I think that's where I'm coming from, where it's like, it just, people don't want to feel like they were lied to or that something was kept from them.
Right.
I just feel personally, and this is just my opinion, like, I want to know that you're bisexual potentially just as much as I want to know if you're a Republican or a Democrat or like just like these things. Yeah. I feel like those are hot button issues that I feel like you can't wait till later and then try to like slip that in. Like, it just I need it up front.
Slight variation. If let's say Carlton was completely heterosexual, does it matter beforehand about his past relationships? Or just because the fact that he is fluid, that's the thing you want to know up front, in your case.
Like,
if Carlton just dated girls, does he tell you about the girls he dated? Or just because of the fact that he was fluid with men and women is what you wanted to know up front?
I would want to know if it was like you were previously married. Like, if there was something significant that happened in those past relationships.
That's very different.
You know, I feel like, I don't know. Like I said, it's just one of those things that I think that's a good point to bring up.
I know we're short on time, but I
don't
know. Like,
I don't think we can put you in a pod then.
Yeah, we can put you in a pod. it just can be seen either way. For the record, I do agree with you. I feel like if you know someone and you have a past and you talk about past relationships as in general, doesn't matter what your background is in that way, it should come up if that comes up. But if you meet someone who doesn't care or like that, then it should be fair game. It shouldn't be a secret.
I know it's come up for me. Like, I have no problem saying that I've dated women before. Mm-hmm. And that's something that may surprise a lot of people, or especially the guys that I'm dating. It's like, oh, that's, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I'm very transparent about it.
Sure.
I mean, it might be, there's definitely an unspoken double standard, I think, with men. Like, I don't know that men are going to be that forthright about that because there is such a stigma around it. But
it's good to know.
Yeah. Interesting.
Be honest with your potential mates.
All we're doing is putting off getting into Barnett.
I know. we can't put it off anymore. Wait. We have to get into the biggest love triangle.
It's a quadrilateral.
Square, a quadrilateral.
Wow.
It's a lot of people
this
involved.
This is a very educational after show here. We've hit, you know.
So many SD words.
Yes.
If you're in high school, we're helping. Helping get ready for that big test.
Yes. So we have Barnett, who is courting three different women right now. He's got Elsie in play. We've got Amber and we've got Jessica. Jessica and Amber have been kind of going strong with Barnett more so in the last episode. I feel like we're now getting more about his connection with Elsie.
We had Elsie last episode, but it was so brief. I actually thought it was one and done. Agreed. I thought it was really quick, but evidently not.
Yeah, I think to that point, we were all kind of surprised to see that while Amber and Jessica are kind of going back and forth at the house about, like, subtly being like, my connection's stronger, we've got Elsie kind of waiting in the wings being like, hey, I'm in this too.
Yeah. And everybody thinks, all the girls think he's really true with them. So much so, especially Amber and Jessica, that they're willing to talk to each other about it. And I'm like, but wait, do you not know that she is really into him and she thinks yours is just fluffy and he's really into her and then Elsie's all... Yeah, it's real messy.
Psychological bias. You believe in something, sure. So you have to try to find a fitting in other people, but it's just that guy... For real?
That's like, so strange.
What about Mark, Christine? What a nice guy.
Mark.
What about
Mark? Come on, Mark.
Yeah, Mark is the kind of just tangent to this figure that we're discussing here. Is it quadrilateral?
Is trapezoid?
I mean.
Like, oh, we're at a five now with Mark.
We're at five.
That's true.
Yeah, it's definitely tough because we all, like you said, we have Mark who
Pentagon.
Has... Pentagon. Pentagon! Yeah, that is the Pentagon.
Love Pentagon.
Mark has deep feelings for Jessica.
Sure.
But Jessica also has deep feelings for Barnett. So Jessica finds herself in kind of a terrible spot this episode. I think we were all upset with her while watching this. I mean, do you guys want to take
Barnett
it away?
Barnett is the bad boy, okay, that Jessica is attracted to because he's got that edge. And Mark is the safe, solid, sweet guy who everybody's like, you're stupid. You should obviously be going with Mark. And she decides to lead, you know, with the wrong intention. And she tells Mark, no, you know, the classic excuse. I would be doing myself a disservice if I didn't, on this journey, they all love journey, on this journey and experiment, I didn't explore all my options. That means, yo, I'm going with the other guy, okay? That's exactly what it meant. Yeah. And you hurt Mark's feelings, and that's not cool. And then, complete hypocrisy. Like, I love all these people because I love you fools for doing this experiment, right? But complete hypocrisy when Barnett basically says the same thing back to her and she, like, shock. I can't believe you would say this. We just said it to Mark.
Yeah.
Shortly after her conversation with Mark, she decides to play Truth or Dare with Barnett and ask the craziest question.
Big mistake.
Yeah, basically putting him on the spot about how he feels about her. And like you summarized, Mike, she doesn't get the answer that she wants.
No.
Yeah.
And
this is what got me so upset. So here's the thing about here's the thing about Mark, right? He's telling from jump, this is how I feel about you. We have a connection. We have a religious connection. Those things are kind of hard and rare in these kind of situations. She was all about that.
Yep.
And she turns him down in the most face-to-face way, but she's never even met the guy.
Right.
I can understand Mark has been a brother who was a vertically challenged, get something curved like that his entire life. And someone just goes, well, you know, you're 24. I don't know. And then walks out of a pod. Poor Mark. And when it happens to Laura, she comes back being like, yo, I messed up, babe. I love you, babe. And I put Mark back on the spot like he's some sort of simp.
Especially,
because I just can't.
How do you feel about that? Because the timeline, again, it's so shortened, right? So she literally was just like, I'm not really feeling it. I'm going to explore other people. And then literally, what is it, the next day? We don't even know. Maybe hours later. Where is she coming back? I made a mistake. I mean, you're the only one I want to date. If I'm Mark, that means, oh, you went and talked to Barnett and he was like, nah, I'm not into it. So now you're coming back to me? That doesn't make me feel good.
Her game was clear as day.
Real transparent.
And what kind of pisses me off is because her reasoning hasn't changed between the 5 minutes that it took her to change her mind. He's still 24. That's not going to change.
That's
the point.
So as Mark, I'd be like, girl, like...
You had to.
You literally, like, I'm the same person I was yesterday when you decided you didn't want me, and I'm the same person that I am today when you decided you did.
Yeah.
So you're either in or you're out. And if I was Mark, I wouldn't entertain that.
But we're not Mark, and it did work. Because Mark is basically like, I love something. I let it go. It came back to me. I like,
bro, come on,
he gave us like five quotes in one breath.
Yeah, he was like, this is exactly what I wanted to see from her. No, it's not. You want her to be all in. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, if I was Mark, let it go.
Don't do yourself like that.
She's settling, bro. Like, I can't be with someone that settles for you.
You don't want to feel that.
Yeah, because when are you going to wake up and you're going to forget to pick up the trash and she'll say, I settle for you.
Yeah.
And you don't want that.
You're worried about resentment creeping in somehow. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, love is not a linear journey. Sometimes things happen. But I feel like we can agree.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. Jessica was being a little messy here.
I know. I don't, I'm, we got to see where they all suss out. I don't know. If he goes ahead and proposes, then the rest of their after story, the rest of the whole season, is this going to come up again? Well, you didn't really want me. I wasn't your first choice. But like over and over and over again, that's always going to be waiting in the wings there. Yeah.
So that could either be like a good plot point to set up later because we need some conflict. We can't have everybody be super perfect, right? We know there's going to be drama later on.
Barnett comes in their wedding.
Or we get something like real definitive because it seems like the couples who have walked out thus far are like, you know, they decided within the pod already that they were about it. But like we said earlier, we still have Amber and LC at play. And what do you guys think of their connection with Barnett? Do you feel like they're contenders for what he has going on with Jessica? Or do we think it's a done deal?
That's kind of hard to say. I feel like Barnett felt closer to Amber.
Yes.
Even though I'm Team LC myself. But I feel like, you know, based on just watching how they resent, how they ask his questions, that Barnett gets all dumb and looks at his fingernails whenever he's talking to Amber. So
the body language is there.
Yeah. I think it's Amber 100%. Just the way he acts and the way she acts, I feel like that's who he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gut feeling. Just looking, I think physically, she's probably what he's more into. Yeah, she's younger. I just see it from this guy.
That shoe game on point.
Yeah.
Definitely. I agree. I think that Amber's definitely the girl for Barnett. I feel like they will balance each other out well in the real world. Seem like a good couple.
She's tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to pick your guys' brains about LC real quick, though, because she said something this episode that I was like, man, from a guy's perspective, is that okay?
You're up, Mike.
She said that she wants a guy who's just like her dad. And I know plenty of girls who feel like this. As a guy, what is your thought process when you hear that? Because Barnett seemed very cringe.
Yeah, that's like, I don't think that's an uncommon sentiment for people in general. I know a lot of same thing. Guys date their moms, essentially, right? Women that are like their moms. My wife has a lot of similarities to my mom, but a lot of differences too. I think it's part of that nature, nurture. This is what you were brought up with. If you see this father figure in life, and especially if you like treated your mom well and that kind of stuff, you see a lot of really good qualities. That's probably stuff you look for in a mate.
Yeah.
I think scientifically you're right, but you don't want to hear that. I think the flip side of it is when you do something messed up and a girl goes, I ain't your mama, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. When a girl tells you, or in my case, girl, I'm heterosexual, but like a girl tells you, oh, you're like my dad, it's like, well, I know that your dad don't like me. I know if I can't change a tire quick enough, you're going to call your pops. Right? I don't want to be compared to this dude who has MVP numbers out the gate. I'm new here. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's nuances to it. It's not, I want a carbon copy of my dad.
Right. That's what it sounds like.
Right. I'm sure there's specific traits she's talking to. And again, we have 16 plus whatever people to get through in an episode. We don't get to hear more about it.
I mean, yeah, I definitely wanted your perspective because I think it's interesting on the flip side because like girls don't necessarily want mama's boys. It's like when you hear that someone like a guy loves their mother so much, it's like it's nice, but then it's like you don't necessarily want them to say like, oh, I'm looking for a woman just like my mom,
right?
Mm-hmm. Because that's usually like a huge red flag for women, because we're constant. I mean, I see you looking at me sideways a little.
No, I'm curious.
Because sometimes it's like that's a lot of pressure to live up to, that kind of standard, and it just, you know, it almost makes you feel like I'll be your wife, but I'll never be number one. Like, your mom is always going to be number one, and I'm going to be number two, trying to, like, live up to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was curious to know, like, as guys, do you feel that pressure or not?
Oh, absolutely. Seriously, when I was with my girlfriend, every time that, like, something broke down in the house, I made sure to do it fast because her dad was a handyman.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't do fast enough.
Wow.
He's going to come through and be like, how's it going?
So and fix the problem.
And then you sit there going, like, thank you, sir. No, not doing it. Not to compare.
I never feel that kind of pressure at all. And when we were dating and such, I wasn't looking for a woman like my mom. I didn't think about that even when Raquel and I were dating. Kind of later in our relationship and after we were married, little things would happen to be like, and we would laugh at it like, that's just like Martha.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a oh wow, that's funny kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was more of a natural thing than like, my mom did this, so I will look for this.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. It's kind of heartwarming when you just realize it organically later. Like, oh, that's something that
it's cool. It's cute. In my situation, it's
totally
really
different.
Cute.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, we're definitely running short on time, so I want to wrap this episode up. we end on a cliffhanger with Giannina and Damien.
Giannina, what are you going to tell us?
Deciding whether or not she wants to accept a proposal from Damien.
Well, she said she has something to say.
Right. Mm. But I think what she's going to say is no.
No! Yeah.
She wants to walk away.
No! Do you hate love? What's wrong with you?
Do you hate love?
These people have known each other 20 seconds, are obviously meant to be, Christine. Come on, guys.
Yeah, the stars are just not aligning in that pod for me. I'll go ahead and say that's my prediction for next week. Yeah. That I think Giannina is going to be the first person to say no.
Nope. Absolutely not. They're faking us out. She's going to say, I have something to tell you, and she's just going to vomit out love and rainbows and how much she's in love with him, too.
Okay, yeah. What do you think, Flobo?
Oh, they're going to put me on a spot here. I want to say she's gonna say yes, but not after doing a long, drawn-out, I can't believe this is happening to me. This is not, I usually walk away kind of a thing.
Yeah. You guys are buying into the system. That's cool.
Buy it.
I'll be the one cynic over here and, you know, just enjoy that. Before we get out of here, sorry to cut you off, do we want to do our special segment real quick, guys?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
We're trying to figure this out. So as fans, we want to help you. Help us figure this out with us. So for today, we're going to just say our deal breakers.
Ooh.
Mm. Before we head out of here.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and lead. And I say my deal breaker in relationships is someone who can't communicate very well their emotions. And a deal breaker for me is someone who is quick to anger. I don't like that. I'm a very...
Does the producer disagree?
I hope that's an agreement.
That's your deal breaker.
It's a deal breaker.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm such an even keel person, and I'm constantly looking for like the positive in a situation.
Mm. Yeah.
So someone who's like too far left of that, I need you to meet me like somewhere in the middle. Don't have to be an eternal optimist like me, but I need you to like keep it cool and
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Do I have deal breakers? But I'm just so lovable, and I appreciate everybody. I would say those are the things in my head now. I'm gonna say punctuality. That's a big one for me. I know.
I've heard that before from guys.
I know.
That's rough in L.A. Rough in L.A.
There is a certain window I've gotten bigger since moving out west.
Okay.
Because I'm from Brooklyn, man. If I tell you 1 o'clock, by 1:10, you ain't there. I'm moving, right? But out here, okay, give yourself a little time to park or whatever. But if I say, hey, let's meet for 1 and 3:30 going, I'm on my way, then I'm not rocking with that. That's a deal breaker.
I'm the only
respecting your time.
Yeah.
I'm the only non-single one. Bree, what's your deal breaker, producer Bree?
My deal breaker would probably have to be people that take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you don't have a sense of humor, it's a deal breaker for me.
I like that. Breathe, robots. I have to agree.
Yeah.
I think sense of humor, that's a great one. That's really, really good. I think somebody who is non-supportive. We're using really esoteric ones.
Yeah.
Really esoteric ones. We talk a lot on Married at First Sight about sexual chemistry.
Mm.
And I think sexual chemistry can completely be a deal breaker. And especially in these new young relationships, people don't want to talk about it. But that's serious. Like we've had virgins on the show before and make it just not work out because people are at different levels or at different points in their life. You know, if you are serious about this marriage stuff, as my wife and I are, you got to click on that level because it's forever.
That is such a good forever. Yeah, that's forever.
That's real.
That is a great note to end on.
Do you sell marriage or there? I don't know.
Do. I am the efficient. Flobo is my DJ.
Yeah.
Hey,
we will marry you.
This is a lovely corner over here. I love you guys. Well, that's all we have for this episode. We are so excited for week 3. I'm excited to see this show pick up a little bit. But in the meantime, you guys can keep up with us here on YouTube. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Love this podcast as much as we do. And you can find me on Twitter at Christine Bean. And I'll see you guys next week. Where can they find you?
Christine Bean. You can find me at flobito.com. That's FLOBITO.com. New content every week.
Hey.
Guys, my name is Mike Thieling. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thieling. We'll see you soon.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.